And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. Make sure you look them up on social media at Physical. You can find them Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Physical Athletic, as well as their website at physicalathletics.com. Joining me now on the Sun City hotline is very special guest, full disclosure, special good friend of mine, gentleman who I've befriended over the course of really going on 2 years now. He's doing tremendous things out here in West Texas, out here in specifically not just started in El Paso, but he's really branching out across the state, really taking ownership of the college recruiting game out here in West Texas. He is Jesse Tovar, from CEO and founder of Prep One. Mr. Tovar, how are you?
Hey, good, Hector. Thanks for having me, man. I'm a little disappointed I didn't get no intro music, like wrestlers, no fireworks.
No, that's for our reoccurring guests when you come back second time. We always always keep them wanting more, you know?
I got you.
All right. So, Jess, my man, tell me, so here we are, you know, 10 months in. How are you? How's your family? And how's the organization of Prep One holding up?
You know what? As with everybody, we're all optimistic in this new year, but, you know, just the last 8-9 months has been very, very trying times for everybody, coaches, athletes, you know, just families in as a whole. It's just been so the transition from, you know, the way we lived our daily lives and the way we had to adapt and adjust, and a lot of going into the unknown. What were we going to do with school? What were we going to do with sports? What was going to happen? It was just amazing how, you know, the world just came together, and we just, you know, we were all experienced this for the first time in our lifetimes. You know, it's taken this toll on especially our youth. As an educator, but for the most part, it's been a very, very, I think now moving forward and hopefully we get past this really soon. I don't think there's nothing that we won't be able to accomplish as mankind just progresses through this thing.
Absolutely. That's very well said. excuse me, you hit on it a little bit, but I'll come back to it a little bit. So here you are, you know, Prep One's going on 2.5 years now. Kind of dive into it a little bit and tell us kind of pre-pandemic, during pandemic, post-pandemic, how's it going? And how has it really been navigating these last 10 months?
Yeah, you know, this past football season was just our third season. We hit the ground running, you know, 2 years ago. And the 2018 high school football season was when we launched Prep One. I registered as a business in the spring of 2018. So that fall of 2018 was the first coming out party for Prep One. All I had was, and I tell people are amazed when I tell them the story. It was just myself and an iPhone 7 at the time.
Right.
You know, it was me and an iPhone 7. And I, you know, came up with a logo and make it a long story short, during my daughter's high school recruiting campaign, if you will, I was marketing her very, very effectively. And during that time, and I know people are probably tired of hearing the story, but I always get, how did Prep One ever start? Well, during my daughter, she graduated from high school 2 years ago. And during the time when you know, she was getting recruited for soccer prior to her ACL injury, that's a whole other story there. Right. But we had a huge momentum going in with her, the way I was marketing her, the way I was using social media to, you know, get attention from scouts and recruits and coaches and sending out emails. And I went ahead and created profiles on her everywhere I could that allowed a free profile. And then I wanted kind of gauge to see as far as, like, which ones I felt were beneficial or the ones we were getting the biggest returns on. To my surprise, during the time I was marketing her and promoting my daughter, I was getting contacted by random parents. They'd seek me out through Facebook and they'd ask me, you know, Mr. Tovar, you know, can you apply or can you help me with my athlete? You know, some athletes were, you know, playing volleyball, softball, football. And I was like, you know, I'm just doing this for my kid. By no means am I an expert in this field, and I'm not pretending to be. And I'm just, what I'm doing is kind of working. And I learned a lot of cool tricks, a lot of cool trends, the know-hows as far as what college coaches are seeking, how to break down video. And before the end of the day, you know, she ended up having something like 36 college offers when it was all said and done, to all levels. And right. Just the experience and guiding her through that, through the process. And you know, pretty much almost, I don't want to say forcing her, but obligating her into what she had to do and be committed to her own recruiting. And that's when it dawned on me, one of these big recruiting sites contacted me. And the guy, I still remember the conversation. You know, I was in my vehicle, and we were having a conversation by phone. And he told me, he's like, Mr. Tovar, please do me a favor, and I'm going to tell you straight up, off the record, don't hire us. And it was surprising to me. Like, why don't they want my money? How come they don't want me to pay for their services? And the guy told me, he's like, look, Mr. Tovar, if you pay for our services, you're going to be very disappointed, because we'd be duplicating everything that you're already doing with your daughter. So we could just, you know, we could help a little bit, tweak a little bit what you're doing. But for the most part, everything that you've already done is what we do on, you know, at the beginning of a college athlete's recruiting. And that's when it first dawned on me, where it's like, I must be doing something right. And maybe I could pass this on and help other athletes as well.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. And, you know, it's a good, what makes me proud, obviously, you and I go back, like I said, over 2 years, going on what, 2 years now. So, but it makes me proud to see that, you know, you're raising your kids right. You have your daughter in, playing soccer, playing D1 soccer now. So that's awesome. That's good to see. So question I have for you here is, so we talk about pre-pandemic, right? February. Yeah. So February 2020 versus now, January 2021. Going to put you on the spot here. Tell me, for all of our listeners out here. So we have parents, we have student athletes, we have some student athletes that aren't, they're kind of a, hey, I think I might really want this, I'm not sure. But tell us, what are probably the three biggest differences between recruiting February 2020 and now January 2021?
Well, the thing is that the recruiting game has changed significantly in the last 8-9 months. Now, before, people hardly even knew about or heard about Zoom or Google Meets. They didn't know anything about video conferencing.
Yeah.
Everything was phone, everything was texting, everything was DMs or emails. So again, now colleges are saving tons of money having these coaches do in-home Zoom meetings or Google Meets meetings, opposed to flying into, you know, a certain city. And they're still doing it for those high profile athletes that, you know, these colleges are lobbying over these athletes.
Right.
But for the most part, the game has changed. We still encourage our athletes to seek out these coaches through emails, because a lot of these coaches are antiquated. They're not very, you know, they've adapted just like us older folks as far as what we have to do with technology, but they still open their emails. They're able to seek these players out with DMs. But now what we've seen is that Twitter game has changed significantly. Before, it was, you could predominantly just see it, you know, very active with football. Now you're seeing it with volleyball. Now you're seeing it with softball. Now you're seeing it with all different colleges at every level. Before, it would be very seldom where a D2, D3 school, their sport had a Twitter page. Before, it was like that college had an athletics page where all the sports would feed into. Now these colleges are actually establishing their own Twitter pages, because that now they're seeing that these athletes are actually seeking them out through technology, through Twitter, through Zoom, through emails, and they're able to set up these video conferences. And my experience in helping athletes now is like, before I used to prepare them for the phone call, now I'm preparing them for the Zoom meeting. So that's a little bit of what's changed. You know, I tell them, and we rehearsed a little bit as far as like, you know, what to say, what not to say. Let's wait on this a little bit. some athletes are very, very, they're high energy, very, you know, they're overzealous. And I tell them, you know what, let's see what the school offers first before you go all in, because a lot of athletes make the mistake of comparing their recruiting journey with a teammate's journey.
And
that's their first mistake, because
you're
talking about different test scores. You're talking about different GPAs, different monies, different scholarships. So, you know, what works for a certain athlete may not work for another teammate. What they're going to study, the geographic location of the school. So now we're educating not only students, but the parents, as far as it's more bang for your buck. And, you know, a lot of these athletes, they may have a 3.8, 3.9 GPA, 4.0 GPA, but they have a average, you know, their level of the skill set and the sport that they play is a little bit as just average. It doesn't matter if you have a 4.0, it's got to be a combination of both things. It's got to be, not only do you have to, you know, be an impact player to your team and prepare not only on the field and what you do off the field. And we're talking about, you know, what you do as a volunteer, the off-season training, everything that you do in your personal life and how it adapts and how it translates to that college, because these colleges want to talk to the athletes. And I tell athletes all the time, they don't want to talk to Mr. Tovar. They don't want to talk to Prep One. They want to talk to you, because you're the one that's going to be living on campus. You're the one that's going to be attending that right. program. So we try to educate now that, you know, everything's very, very transparent now. Coaches get to actually see and talk to these athletes on a daily basis because of these Zoom meetings. I had an athlete just text me earlier today, very excited because she had four Zoom meetings lined up in the next week. And I'm like, man, I remember when you were so nervous to take your first Zoom meeting, and now you're a little pro at it. So
yeah. It's amazing how that works, right?
Yeah. It's like riding a bike. You know, we get them ready. We let them know, we encourage them, and these coaches understand that it is like a job interview, and they understand that these young adults are 17, 18 years old, and they're going to be nervous when they talk to them. So they make them feel comfortable, but these coaches want to learn a little bit about themselves and what they're going to bring to the table. They don't want a problem child. They don't want a party animal. They want to make sure that this athlete is going to represent their organization, and they're going to be committed to their program. And now what we're seeing now, and we'll touch on it in a little bit, I believe, with a transfer portal, you have athletes transferring all over the place. So I tell, especially the seniors now, you know, I have a couple of volleyball players and football players that I'm working with right now. It's their senior year. We're in January of their senior year. They still got about four and a half months away to decide where they want to go if they get an offer. But I tell them, you just never know what's going on with a certain program. An athlete can enter the transfer portal. They could be dismissed from the program for discipline issues. There could be a situation where it's a COVID-related issue where it impacts that family and that athlete has to leave that program to go back home and help the family. There's just so much going on right now. And, you know, maybe a pregnancy could surface in some of these athletes, and that could open up another opportunity for these athletes. So I tell them, it's not just communicating with coaches, it's being at the right place at the right time. And a lot of what they have to do now, and I tell these athletes, you have to start on your recruiting about, you know, at the end of your freshman year at minimal. And you have to, that way you get all the boring stuff out of the way. And when I'm talking about the boring stuff, these relationships that you establish with coaches take time to develop. You're not going to develop these relationships overnight. The coaches, you know, they want to know, get to know you, to see how you are, see how you progress. They want to see your eating habits. So a lot of these athletes that they get those great scholarships is because they've had those relationships with these coaches for about, you know, a year, over a year, not a couple of months.
So you mean to tell me that I'm not going to get I'm not going to immediately receive an offer for, because I sent one email or maybe I posted two things on social media? No, that's not how it works.
No. And that's the most frustrating part when I talk to these athletes and I ask them, how many emails have you sent coaches? And they're like, oh my God, yes, I must have sent about seven. And I'm like, seven? Like I could barely, you know, like holding up the number seven. I'm like, you're about 70 away from getting to where you want to get to. And here's the thing. Here's the tricky part. And I tell my athletes all the time, sometimes I have athletes that email, let's say about 15, 20 emails, and they get a reply right away. They get 2-3 replies. Some athletes, it takes them about 40 emails to get 3 or 4 right. replies. So you just never know. I had an athlete that was in his 72nd email. 72nd email. He called me. He's like, Mr. Tovar, I don't know if what I'm doing wrong. I'm emailing all these schools. I'm even changing it up. I'm adding a little bit of, you know, more links, more information about myself. And once he, I believe when he got up, by the time he got to his 86th email, so we're talking, you know, 12, 14 emails later, he had 6 offers. So he had no offers from email 1 to 72, and from 72 to 86, he got 6 offers.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. You just never know when you're going to get hot. And you know about this, that there's times where, you know, the recruiting trail gets hot. There's coaches communicating with you. You're taking phone calls. You're getting emails. There's a lot of activity in your inboxes, and then it stops. It stops for a couple of weeks, and then it starts up again. You just don't know what these – and I tell these athletes, coaches are not just sitting by the computer waiting to recruit people. Sometimes these coaches, you know, they have – aside from the regular job, they reply when they have time. I've talked to several college coaches where they discovered players waiting for a flight. They were on a layover, and they're looking through huddle accounts. They're looking through athletes' tweets. And the right athlete comes across their timeline, and they're able to get, you know, DM them and get their information. And that's how they were discovered. That's how my daughter was discovered. The coach was following her for 2 years, and he didn't even message her. He just followed her along. And as she progressed in her sport and even through her injury, because she suffered an ACL her junior year, you know, she had to get surgery for that. You know, he still saw how she came back and how she was progressing. And right when it was during the onslaught of offers that she was getting, where he came in and initially offered, I believe it was 75%, and then he ended up offering a full ride for a Division I. So that was really, really neat how he discovered her on social media.
Yeah. Yes. No, I believe it. Right. And, you know, and you talk about so much about right place at the right time, but a big part of that too is, and you and I both know, is kind of instructing that student athlete to be, you have to be ready for the right place at the right time, right? So much of that opportunity, it's just, you know, just so it's by chance sometimes. But yeah, no, absolutely. I believe that.
You know, recently I've implemented the hashtag I am a prep one athlete, and I get so many messages and emails about from parents and athletes. How can my athlete become a prep one athlete? Well, the meaning about being a prep one athlete is that you have to be committed to your own recruiting. If you are just trying to use it for clout or just to say that you're getting recruited, I'll drop you. I'll remove myself from you. And I'll see you at the store, the supermarket. I'll give you a high five. I'll give you a big hug or a distant high five now with a
COVID situation.
But it's nothing personal. I just want to work with kids that want to help themselves. You want kids that think that you have that secret button that I'm going to push, and there's going to be offers flying down from the ceiling, and that doesn't happen that way. Realistically, is that I tell these athletes, and I condition these athletes, and it has to be a mindset that they have to buy into, and they have to dedicate themselves and commit themselves to their own recruiting. I tell them all the time, I can't want it more than you. Your coach can't want it more than you. Your parents can't want it more than you. It's got to be about you. And like you say, I have always heard you say this, it's got to be the right fit, right? It's got to be the right fit geographically, economically, academically, you know, everything, all those variables have to come together and see what's the right fit for you as a student athlete. Some athletes get fixated. They tell me, yeah, Mr. Tovar, I've sent 30 emails. And I see their email list, and it's like the top 30 schools in, you know, Division I. And I'm like, you know what, they're your class of 2021, and they're already working in their 2023 roster.
Right. Absolutely.
And a lot of it's timing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the big part too is is establishing is making sure that you know, because there's just there's trained and there's untrained, right? There's ready and there's unready. And to be able to be in the right place at the right time, so much of it is just simply being ready. So yeah, absolutely. You know, you and I, you know, full disclosure for our listeners, you know, you and I, we've been working together for a good while now, and kind of really picked up, ironically, during the pandemic, right? During the summer with college advisory calls, different sessions that we've had. But, you know, and a big thing, part of the big reason why I was really about working with you, working with Prep One, was because, you know, I'm very passionate about this, but I think the big part too is when a student athlete and a parent, because it's a team, right? It's a team and it's a journey. But the person that's guiding that ship is the student athlete. It's not the parent. It's not you. It's not me. And the very important part, what I'm passionate about is when a new student athlete and parent enters kind of that college recruiting world, because it is different. It can be tough. It can be overwhelming. That we start to immediately work on identifying, defining what right fit means, right? Defining what right fit means for them. So yeah, absolutely. It's critical. So I got one here for you. So if you could identify for, let's say we have student athletes and parents, right, that are listening on here, student athletes and parents, if you could identify maybe one misconception when it involves the college recruiting process as it pertains in general, but specifically maybe if you can dive into soccer, one big misconception that you often see on the parent side and maybe one big misconception that you often see for a student athlete.
You know, a lot of these athletes, they get invited to camps and they translate that as an offer, or this college is interested in me. Well, I'm not going to say they are not, but they probably send that same email to 100 other athletes and they want to evaluate you. They're going to invite you to their camps. And I do encourage these athletes, obviously, you know, on a non-pandemic year, you're going to have camps every other weekend here in especially in the state of Texas and much more in California. I tell them if you play for a club and you're going to be going to a showcase, email all the coaches that are going to be in attendance, you know, command an audience. But the biggest misconception, like you asked, is that they think that if a coach reaches out and asks them to attend their camp, a lot of these colleges use that as fundraisers. And some colleges can very well be interested in that athlete and several other athletes, but they want to give your athlete a chance to evaluate them. But that means that they want to see them at their camp to evaluate them. That doesn't mean that they're interested 100%. It doesn't mean that they're offering. A lot of athletes tell me, I'm getting recruited. I'm like, oh, really? Wow, that's great. We're a step ahead. But they've never talked to the coach. They've only been invited to a couple of camps, and they feel that that's getting recruited, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah, it's so big. So as we dive in, and you've hit on a lot of it already, so this is really great stuff. As you look at it in general, and then maybe as it pertains to maybe here in El Paso, West Texas, and throughout the state of Texas, what are some, you know, trends? You know, you talk about trends as far as the recruiting game, and kind of where is it headed in, just like, again, in general, but also maybe soccer as it pertains to soccer.
Well, kids are very, very well informed nowadays, and parents, I like it when the parents are very involved. Sometimes these parents do put a lot of trust in their athlete, and that's not that they shouldn't trust their kid, but a lot of times if an athlete tells the parent, hey, how are you doing? How's it going with Mr. Tovar? And, oh, it's going good and stuff like that. I had a parent reach out to me not so long ago and like, hey, you know, we haven't heard from you. What's going on? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh yeah, well, you know, we haven't heard from you in months. So I sent this parent, you know, a couple of screenshots from the athlete where I was contacting the athlete, letting them know, you know, what's the status, no reply. Hey, I'm still waiting for your huddle. Hey, can you take a phone call? Hey, we got to start emailing coaches. There was no activity, no reply, but there was always, you know, uploads by that athlete on social media, you know, selfies here and there. And they're like, okay, so we know that they're active, but they don't want to be active in their recruiting. So I had to tell the parent, and I'm not trying to get the kid in trouble, but I'm being questioned as far as where have you been? And I'll tell the parent straight out. I was like, hey, you know, your kid's not being very active in their own recruiting. So you need to talk to them. But as far as trends, like we spoke about with technology now, it's just making sure that they have the right support system, because not all athletes have the support system. But there's a lot of athletes that I always have them send me an email sample. And some of these athletes write very well where I don't even have to change anything. So, but there is a lot of athletes that they don't know how to write. So that's very, very important. They're very shy. So we try to get them out of their shell and teach them how to communicate and how to write. That way the coaches will be able to communicate with these athletes effectively. And these athletes will let them know. A lot of times these athletes, they're on the right track as far as what message they want to convey to the coach. They just don't know how to express themselves, and we help them.
Right, right.
And right. COVID, again, COVID, these young athletes, these young adults need to socialize. And, everyone's been at home, in lockdowns and behind a screen for so long that, it just takes those social skills away sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point. That's a great point. So one final question we have here, Jess, is, so for the college coaches that might be out there listening to this, right? oftentimes it's very easy or easier to probably recruit the southern, eastern half of the state, if you will, northern half of the state from, you have Dallas, Fort Worth, you have Austin, you have San Antonio, you have Houston, all within about 4 hours of each other, right? But for the college coach that might be listening, the college soccer coach that might be listening, what can you tell them a little bit about the soccer talent that they, and the style that they may be able to find from a recruit out here in West Texas, out here in El Paso, in the borderland region, in the panhandle, the plains, Lubbock, Amarillo? What can you tell them about that area in terms of intriguing them a little bit more to understand that there's a whole other half of the state as well as the valley, right down the Rio Grande Valley, where it's a hotbed of talent.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of hidden gems out here in West Texas and the Rio Grande Valley. Some of these athletes can play, man. And a lot of times, like California, all these big tournaments that these clubs go to California, people always say, California doesn't even have to leave the state of California because of all the talent that's out there. Well, there's a lot of talent here in Texas and West Texas. And we're changing the game in so many ways because I believe it was the year before last, there was 7 Division I athletes from El Paso that were signed. And I'm not sure if there was any last year, but it seems like every year there's more and more soccer talent on both the girls and the boys and girls side that are finding homes at all levels, Division I, Division II, Division III. So what I do, and El Paso, West Texas did have a stigma for several years as far as if the kid goes to college, they're going to get homesick and come back. Now you're seeing a lot of athletes that want to leave. They want to leave the nest. They want to explore life.
Right.
What's out there. They want to go to, whether it's a small town or a big city, they just want to leave the nest and live their life studying and playing the sport that they love. So that's very exciting when I hear athletes letting me know that, no, it doesn't have to be in Texas. I could play elsewhere. And there's a lot of talent here in El Paso that's getting opportunities that wasn't as obvious even 5 years ago. Every year it's it's growing more and more. And National Signing Day, there's a lot of media coverage. And it seems like there's more and more athletes getting offered here in West Texas.
Yeah, and you're a gigantic part of that. So it's awesome. Continue to do great things. He's Jesse Tovar, CEO and founder of Prep One. Jess, I know you're going to stay with us for our next segment, our counterattack segment. So our listeners, don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. Make sure you check them out on social media. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Physical Athletic. That's FYZICAL, Athletic. And you can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. We are with Mr. Jesse Tovar, CEO and founder of Prep One. So we're going to dive right in for our next segment, Counter Tech. We're going to test some soccer IQ knowledge here as well. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, so for those that may not know in terms of what you do as far as game day coverage, right? Whether it be, you know, football, soccer, basketball, whatever, you're kind of running around and you're covering games, right? Whether it's, you know, live tweets, live action tweets, photos, scores. So for that, you kind of have your attending. I know you're routinely attending games. So do you have any pregame or postgame rituals?
Yeah, you know, after the games, you gotta get Whataburger. You gotta get some Whataburger. You gotta get your, you know, mindset before the game. It's, you know, you gotta go in there. You're gonna be shaking hands or fist bumping nowadays. You know, people that you see, the athletes get excited when you're there. You're like, oh wow, Prep One's here. So that makes me happy. That makes me glad that, like, hey, we've achieved something. Before it was like, you know, now we, you know, my DMs blow up 9 days before game day from athletes asking if I could go evaluate them, if I could go, you know, just watch them play. Some of the Prep One athletes always want, very excited for me to attend their games. So before the game, you got to go in there. You have to have gum. You have to have your monster drink ready to go. And then you have to make sure that everything's charged, ready to go. And then once you're in there, you start getting hungry, you know, halftime.
And
sometimes games in soccer gets cold. So you just want to either go get coffee or want to go eat somewhere. But after the game, you got to go get some Whataburger.
Hey, well,
reward yourself.
You know where my office is, you know my address, and you know what I drive. So I'll be, I'm waiting on some free Whataburger anytime, man, anytime. All right. So next question here for you. If you were in a different world, what's a sport that you would have coached?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. You know, I've coached football. I've coached youth football, and that was a lot of fun, but I don't know. You know what? I wrestled when I was in high school, and to date, I'll tell all my athletes that is the most exhausting sport you could ever take on, because you use muscles that you never knew you had.
Yeah,
you know, and probably wrestling. I really, really enjoyed doing that, but just teaching kids and how to grapple and how to arm lock, and that would be a lot of fun.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I hear you on that one. Being a former boxer, absolutely, I understand that. So a lot of people don't know this about you, but obviously you're an educator as well as the CEO and founder as a marketing strategist for Prep One. But what they may not know about you is that you're also a retired deputy sheriff, right? So why I mention that is because in a whole other life, not a deputy sheriff, not as a marketing strategist, what's another profession you would have done?
Oh man, you know, being an educator, it's just a whole other realm. I love being a cop, but you know, probably, I don't know, man. I'm always wanting to help people, so I'm always, you know what? I really get a kick out of those guys climbing the poles, whether it's a cable guy or an electrical guy. I always like, man, those guys are awesome. You know, they have their hard hats, they're climbing up those poles, and something in that aspect, you know, maybe that would have been something to try out, whether it was a, you know, installation or whatever. I really think that I would have probably done something like that.
Nice. That's awesome. That's good. That's different. That's awesome. I like that. Yeah. All right. So next one. So 10 months into the pandemic, what's a favorite Netflix series or something that you've been able to binge watch during this pandemic?
Oh my God. You know what? I just rewatched Game of Thrones. Just because I was hoping for a different outcome. when I first saw it, nobody liked the way it ended. And you just start watching, and there was one episode on, and I saw it, and you get hooked on. But every time you see a series that you've seen before, you learn something new that you missed the first time you saw it. So you're like, oh, now it makes sense. Now you put two and two together, and now you know why certain things happen, why certain characters say certain phrases, or why things, you know, especially with Game of Thrones, everyone's killing each other all the time. But you know, it's you know, I saw that already with the pandemic. I was going to start Breaking Bad again as well. And
there you go.
But I don't want to, you know what? I haven't started any new ones because I'm afraid to get hooked.
Yeah.
And I'm so busy where I don't want to like focus on something else before I have to do what I have to do with the recruiting stuff.
Yeah, for me, the last week it's been actually it's the final season of The Sopranos, and I went back to that final episode, kind of hoping for a different outcome, right? But no such luck, no such luck. So
you know, documentaries have been awesome, big during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, so here's one. So your favorite and least favorite soccer team, pro, college, whatever, can be. Can be US, can be MLS, it can be foreign, can be domestic, foreign. Favorite and least favorite soccer team?
You know, I don't think, obviously, you know, the US, you know, the US women's national team.
There you go.
You cheer for those ladies all the time. The way they just get it done, even when they lose, they come back and they just stick it to their opponents. And they're the best team in the world. And you know, I know they, you know, some get a little political here and there. And, you know, over the course of the years, you see a lot of those players in the spotlight for the right and wrong reasons. And you see a lot of success stories. And I like it when they bring up the new blood and the new athletes that come up because they have great stories and great background on how they were discovered. And being you know, a father of a daughter that played the sport, I believe, you know, I could say the women's national team is probably my favorite team to watch play. I never miss one of their games.
Nice.
As far as least favorite, I can't say I have a least favorite, but everyone always talks about, you know, the biggest game of the year and with Messi and Ronaldo. I don't know, man. I always like, I like the villain role. So whoever everybody wants to win, I'll pick the opposite team.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now non-soccer, favorite and least favorite. Any other sport, like what's the one favorite of all the sports, all the other sports, and the least favorite of all the other sports?
You know what? Football, obviously, you know, football. I'm a big football guy, big Miami Hurricane fan growing up.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, we've been down in the dumps for a while, but, you know, we're coming up. We're getting better, but yeah. You know, growing up as an only child in the 80s, I remember every Saturday morning I'd wake up.
And
Miami, for some reason, ESPN always played Miami Hurricane games Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. Reruns, of course, from the night before.
Right.
And watching those games, and I just like the whole Jimmy John. And you see documentaries of all that stuff going on, and people are like, wow, it would have been great to see. Well, I actually followed that team when they were in their heyday. So yeah. I just like the swagger. I like the energy that Michael Irvin's and everything that came with the whole Miami, the Miami mystique. I enjoyed it. And when they came back to the Sun Bowl in 2010, I wrote a letter to back then it was the interim coach. They had just released their coach, and they invited me over to their practice. They invited me over to their, you know, to meet the team, and I got a helmet autographed by the entire team, and they took me in as an official member of the Miami family, and that was a really, really special moment for me because that team, watching that team perform, kept me indoors on Saturday nights a lot.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't go out and I wouldn't go out to parties because I had to watch the Canes. They were always playing on primetime.
Yeah.
To watch them as a kid, I watched them Sunday mornings, and as a young teenager, I watched them obviously on primetime Saturday nights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The 80s is the heyday. The Jimmy Johnson years for sure. So,
yes, sir.
All right. So, we're going to test some soccer IQ here. Let's see. So, one of these athletes is not a soccer player.
Okay.
Giovanni Reyna, Luka Modric, and Max Verstappen. Which one?
Oh, my God. They sound like wrestlers, man. I'm gonna say the last one, Max.
Yeah, there you go. He's a Formula One guy. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got one.
There you go. All right. Next one. So hidden talent, secret talent, hidden talent, whatever you want to call it, that maybe very few people know about you.
Okay. Wow. Being a former SWAT guy, I could definitely shoot with a rifle. Better with my rifle than with my handgun.
There you go.
People, yeah, that's probably one of the things.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. All right. So now here's a different one that you can share. What's maybe a funniest or one of the funniest moments you've ever had? Kind of, you're working with a PSA, you know, with a prospective student athlete and or parent, you're advising them. What's a funny moment that's occurred while working with a prospective student athlete and or parent?
You know what? I don't know if I've ever had that awkward moment. It's always been good moments. Good, you know, good. We laugh together. We cry together. We talk. I don't think there's ever been a moment where there's been an embarrassing moment where I pass gas or I fart or I burp.
Yeah, let's hope not. Yeah.
luckily, that would probably be an embarrassing moment, but I haven't done that yet.
Yet, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Emphasis. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. We're hoping that's the case. So, all right.
Yes.
All right. So final question here for you. All right. So post pandemic, we'll say hopefully down, you know, a few months down the road, hopefully, your daughter's back in town, all the family's coming back in town and you're cooking Sunday dinner. You're the chef. What are you cooking?
Oh, steak, man. I could get down on the grill and cook some steak. And, I just tell everybody to bring what you want me to grill and I can grill it, whether it's chicken, steak, ribs, whatever. I could definitely, I'm not very territorial. Like if you want to go get down the grill with me, I'll be more than happy to move aside, but you're going to have to bring your own tools.
All right. Good deal. Awesome. Well, hey, this has been good, Jesse. This has been great. So last thoughts for student athletes, prospective student athletes, parents as well that may be listening, coaches that may be listening. They want to know more information on Prep One. Where can they find you?
You know, it's that old saying, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook. Our Twitter, all of our social media pages have our Flow Pages link where student athletes can register, and definitely it gives it's a registration sheet for our database, and we'll eventually get back to you. Right now, I mean, just in the last couple of weeks because of the holiday, I must have had like about 40 or more athletes sign up. So we're right now vetting and going through that list and contacting these athletes and seeing what they know about recruiting, because they have to have some sort of knowledge as far as what they're getting into. Some of them want to contact us because they want us to do it for them. And once they learn that they have to actually do all the work, well, most of the work themselves, we just guide, advise, and facilitate them because we are not an agent. That's very important that I disclose that I am not an agent. That's an NCAA and UIL violation. We are marketing strategists, recruiting analysts, and advisors. We'll guide you. We'll go with you every step of the way, but we will not do things for you.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. Any final thoughts? Anything else? I know you just hit on a lot. Anything else you want to share with people that may be listening across the state?
No, just continue masking up, you know, get, you know, stay healthy, protect your loved ones. A lot of times, you know, we have that misconception. Well, I'm healthy. I'm young. Nothing could happen to me. It's not my age category that's suffering. But the thing is, you just don't know if you're a carrier and you're going to give it to someone that you really care about. Someone elderly, someone that doesn't have, the white blood cells in them to fight. So you just don't know what's going to happen, you know? So please just take care of yourselves and let's get through this year and let's get back to the field and, you know, get back on the pitch and do our thing.
Well said, perfectly said. He's Jesse Tovar, CEO and founder of Prep One. He joins us via the Sun City Academy hotline. Jesse, thank you again for your time. Thanks for everything. Appreciate it and keep doing what you're doing, my man.
Coach, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this short message from our sponsors.